Have March 18th. That'll be like next Sunday, I think. Our class is going to have potluck after church. So bring stuff for you and your loved ones. And I think, Judy, did you pass these out? Okay, that's why everybody's looking at me like I got two heads. Okay. Next week, potluck here. Everybody will stay and enjoy our fellowship. Okay. She's going to pass these out to everybody. Kurt just picked one up, I think. Yeah. All right, Book of John. You know, I said before that I love the Book of John. I think probably one of my most favorite books of the Bible. If you were here this past week with Brother Stewart here, he pointed out some really neat things about the Gospels kind of got me to looking in other areas, just some neat stuff that you know, like you said, that it all fits together. In just visiting with people this past week, you know, everybody always wants a definitive verse. You know, hey, where's that verse at? Thou shalt not smoke. You know? I mean, they always want that. You know, give me that one verse that I can just go right there. Well, there it is right there, you know. And sometimes it's teachings, okay? It's putting things in their proper perspective of, you know, how you can show that, hey, you shouldn't smoke. You know, that your testimony, your health, I mean, a number of things. But even looking at this passage of Scripture, John chapter 1, again, it's a conglomerate of things. It's not one area specifically, because John gives some accounts that Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not, and vice versa. So we have to look in one, go to the other one, and see some of the details, and then go back and see what we're talking about. And then bringing in the Old Testament. I love when the Old Testament and New Testament come together, and you look at it and you go, well, look at that. There it is right there. The Old Testament is about a people, okay? In perspective, it's about a people. It's about God's people. It's about Israel. Their plight down in Egypt, their exodus out, the wilderness, coming into the promised land, then the wars and things that they went through. And then from the first part of the book, the promise of the Messiah. And then I've told you that our Bible is arranged differently than the Jewish Bible. The Jewish Bible ends with Chronicles. Ours ends with Malachi, because Malachi promises the Messiah. He promises the one that leads the way for the Messiah. So ours is arranged that way. And then Matthew starts back. Matthew picks up where Chronicles left off. So, as we, again, you can't just look down and definitively say, here's one verse, but you get these teachings put together. And, like I said, as I went back and looked at different passages of Scripture, and you put them with the ones that we study today, then you begin to see, okay, hey, that makes sense. In about 2 weeks, we're going to start our series on Easter Sunday. There's just so much there. I kind of got off chasing some stuff this past week of studying for that. And one passage of Scripture that has always struck me is in John chapter 6, where Jesus said a hard saying. He said this is a hard saying, and he tried to teach it to them, and some of his disciples quit following him. They left off from following him because they just couldn't really, you know, didn't understand what he was talking about. He said, if you don't take my body and eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can't have any part with me. And that's tough. I mean, that's kind of, ugh, you know. But again, from the start to the finish, we see the picture of Him being the sacrificial lamb. You know, we've always known that even in Egypt, they would bring the little lamb in and they would care for it, they would feed it, they would water it, you know. Chances are the kids played with it. And then we understand that during Passover they killed that lamb. But it wasn't just that they cut its throat and it bled out. They ate that lamb. That was the feast of the Passover. Jesus said, I'm that Passover lamb. You must partake of me, metaphorically speaking, but you must partake of me. Why was he saying that? Because I'm the Passover lamb. Anyway, we'll get into that during the Easter lessons, but the book of John chapter 1, and again, this led me all the way back to Genesis and all the way to the book of Revelation, just from these passages that we'll study today, and hopefully you'll see that as they fit together, we don't need the king that comes in and sets up the kingdom yet. We need a sacrifice. Because there's no need for that king if we're not reconciled with God. Everybody kind of got that? I mean, we first need a Savior. Then we need a king. And that's what John gets into telling them. That's what John the Baptist was trying to say. He said, repent. And that's what, again, we talked last week. It wasn't his preaching that everybody was upset with, but he was baptizing. Now understand something. He was baptizing because that's what God told him to do. God told him to baptize. And he's going to elaborate on that in the scriptures today. So after we pray, John chapter 1. Lord, I thank you again for your word, and Lord, for Lord, just the truth. Father, we thank you for the light, and Lord, we ask that Lord, you'd give us wisdom that we could see, and Lord, as you begin to shed light on your word, that Lord, it would just Lord, it would illuminate for us, that we would be able to, Lord, see, Lord, all you'd have us to see, that we'd be able to take that and go and witness, Lord, that we're all in need of the sacrificial lamb, and Lord, that everyone would know that lamb is Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to see that. Lord, help us to not just see it, but Lord, to share it with others. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. John chapter 1 and verse 19, we see now where John the Baptist is here, and he says, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? So the priests sent Pharisees out there. It was about 20 miles from Jerusalem over to the River Jordan. And they found out that there was just flocks of people going out there and listening to this preacher. Part of it was probably spectacle. He dressed different. I'm assuming that he was very boisterously loud because of the crowds, you know, of having to speak loud. But some of it may have been his message, hopefully. But they went out and he drew a big crowd. So the Pharisees said, hey, we need to go out there and see what's going on out there. What's happening out there that's kind of messing with our stuff. So we see that when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? Now, I said this a couple of weeks ago, what a testimony. They accused him of being the Christ. Man, what a testimony. What a testimony. I told some of y'all before, years gone by, I was at the National Finals Rodeo It was a Friday night, and I come around a blind corner, and I just ran into this lady. I mean, she was coming one way, I was coming another, and we just kind of met at the same time. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, and stepped around her and went on. That was the whole conversation. on Sunday, they had a church service, and I went to it, and she was there. And she came up to me, and she said, "I don't know if you remember me, but we ran into each other during the week, literally." And I said, "Oh, yeah, yeah." She said, "I want you to know that Christ was beaming off of you." I said, "Wow, thank you. I didn't mean to. I really didn't. I was down there riding bulls." She said, I just want you to know Christ was beaming off of you." Man, I'll never forget that. I kind of try and remember what I was doing or why, because I don't get that a lot anymore. But what a testimony of John. They accused him of being an Old Testament saint come back. They accused him of being one of the prophets. They said, "We think maybe you're the Christ. Are you the Christ?" And verse 20 says, "And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he said, 'I'm not. Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?' And he said, 'I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah.'" We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. He's quoting here from Isaiah. Isaiah says, "Make straight the way of the Lord." And I should have written it down, but something else about God. So he's talking about God Elohim in the plurality sense, and the Savior, Jehovah. So he's quoting it. They knew exactly what he was talking about. Verse 24 says, "And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, 'Why baptize thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?' And John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water. But there standeth one among you, whom you know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latcheth I'm not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing.'" This conversation that he's having right now is 6 weeks thereabouts after he baptized Jesus. We go back over into the other Gospels and we find out that immediately after Jesus was baptized, the Spirit took him straightway into the wilderness where he was tempted. And he spent all that time in the wilderness, and now he comes back to the River Jordan. Now, the wilderness was considered everything east of the Jordan River. So somewhere out there, the Spirit takes Christ out there, and he comes back. So we're about 6 weeks later, and John's having this conversation with the Pharisees. He says, "And the next day," so we're talking about a 3-day deal here where things are happening and this conversation is going on. We have the one day where the Pharisees come out and they begin to question him. And he says, "Hey, there's one here who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." He says, "But y'all don't know who he is." By the way, they should have known who he was. They should have known. But you know what? John's fixing to tell them, "You know, I didn't know either." That's the part that I really tried to study out, because John says a couple of times, "I knew him not." Now, it's confusing, and we'll get into that here in a minute. And I'll tell you right up front, when we get done with class, y'all go see Brother Cox, and he'll explain it to you, because I don't understand it, okay? Not to put you on the spot. But he says, "In the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.'" He identifies him as the Christ. He says, "There he is." Now, he's the Christ that's the sacrificial lamb. Look in Genesis chapter 2. No, Genesis chapter 8, I'm sorry. I wrote 2:9, and it looked like verse 2, or chapter 2. Chapter 8, verse 6. Now, when Jesus is baptized, God identifies him. The Spirit comes down in the shape of a dove and rests on him. Okay? So he's identified by God at that point. John baptizes him, and again, we get this account from the other Gospels. He baptizes him. When he comes up out of the water, the Spirit come down in the shape of a dove. Now, I don't know if it was a physical dove that come down, but something had to have some kind of visual sight for them to see. Again, says in the shape of a dove. You can look through the different Gospels. But something ascended down. It was the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit came down and rested on him. Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 6 says that when it came to pass at the end of the 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. And the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet. And she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were upon the face of the whole earth. Ravens can kind of make it out there anywhere. They can find something floating around and all. Doves can't do that. But again, the dove is a picture always of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Here's God's Spirit going out on a completely different earth. You know, these purple majesties and mountain majesties and all that we look at now isn't what God designed. This isn't the earth that He designed. The earth that Noah saw on the other side of the flood was completely different than the one pre-flood. I'd love to see it. I've seen a lot of this one, and I think there's just a lot of awe. But again, we also have to look at this, that it scars left upon the earth. But here, His Spirit goes out, if you will, and finds no rest in the after flood world. The only time that it comes down and rests is upon His Son. It says that it came down and abode. That word abode refers to remaining. So He came down and remained. Look at Genesis chapter 22. John identifies him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." We know this familiar story here of Abraham and Isaac. Chapter 22, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place in which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a place from afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto his father and said, Father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Isaac knew enough to say, Hey, I know we're going up here to sacrifice, We've got the wood for the burnt offering. We've got the fire. You and I have everything. But where's the lamb? Here's this son voluntarily going with his father. He's a picture of Christ. I mean, we see that where he's got the wood on his back where Christ carried the cross. He goes voluntarily. Verse 8 says, "And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering.' So they went both of them together." God said, "I'll provide the sacrifice." He provided his son. He's who made it able for a virgin to give birth. God provided that son through the seed of a woman. Remember in Genesis chapter 3 where he says that "I'll place enmity between thee and thy seed and the woman's seed." It wasn't man's seed. It was God providing the lamb for himself. Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." We understand that Isaac laid down. He didn't fight with his dad. He laid down and voluntarily was tied up. Abraham raises up the knife to kill him and to give that offering. And God stops him. He says, "You know what? I see that you believe." And he looks over and there's a ram caught by his horns in the thorns. Man, another picture you can take off on. Thorns are a picture of the world and how corrupt everything has gotten to be. And they caught up this ram by his horns where no blemish would be done to him. It was an adult male. So many things that you can go off on as we talked about the different layers. But we see that here again we're speaking of a lamb and God providing that lamb. John the Baptist identifies him. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Look in the book of Revelation. One of my probably all-time favorite passages of Scripture. I refer to it quite a bit. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 2. Here's John, the same writer that's given us the account now. He says, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth.'" He said, he looked, and there was the lamb. Capitalized, by the way. He said, I looked over there to find this lion, this conqueror. And he said, all I saw was a lamb slain. And I'll tell you what, John still needed that slain lamb. He wrote five books of the Bible. He still needed that slain lamb. So we see again, picture after picture, of Jesus being portrayed as a lamb. Says that he went to the cross and didn't utter a word. They began to crucify him and he never said a word, as if he was a lamb taken to slaughter. Lambs don't say anything. They don't make any kind of noise or nothing. So this picture of the Lamb of God takes me back again to the Christmas lessons and the Tower of the Flock. Here, the angel that God sent to the shepherds said, "Go And see, this will be a sign. You'll see a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, I want to explain swaddling clothes. And again, redundancy. Some people weren't here. Y'all bear with me. We don't wrap babies in swaddling clothes. Everybody get that? We wrap new babies in a blanket or something, but we don't tear swatches of garments off and wrap them with it. That's senseless. You just wrap them the one time in a little going home towel or whatever it is. I don't know. Blanket, I'm sorry. What is it? Receiving blanket. See? I'm so far removed from all that, y'all. But we don't tear strips of clothing because the baby you would just keep wrapped up like this. You can't do that to a lamb. They got four legs. So there was no garment made that you could slip over them with four sleeves and stuff. So you would tear those garments up and wrap that lamb. That's what swaddling clothes are. Okay? It's not what you wrap a baby in. I grew up all my life going, oh yeah, that's what they wrap babies in. No, they didn't. It wouldn't make any sense. Remember all the old westerns? Heat up some water and get some newspaper or blankets ready, you know, when they were going to give birth. It doesn't make any sense to have that. And again, the angel said, this will be a sign. You'll go into that tower of the flock, I believe, and you'll see a lamb wrapped in swaddling clothes, ready for slaughter, ready for sacrifice. And then the next stall, you may see another one the same way, but here's going to be your sign. You're going to go to that next stall, and there's going to be a babe made up just like those sacrificial lambs, ready for sacrifice. There's your sign. That's why the angel appeared to the shepherds and said, look, go over there. This will be a sign to you. So again, the picture of Christ being that sacrificial lamb. Go back to John chapter 1. This 3 days that we've in discussion here that we see this passage of Scripture is just before the Passover. It's just before you would bring the Passover lamb into your home and begin to prepare and do all the things ready for the feast of the Passover. No doubt there were lambs and sheep coming up from the River Jordan. No doubt that there were herdsmen around, heading into town. He says in verse 30, he says, and this is whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. That bothered me. Brother Cox, you're held up too. That bothers me. They were cousins. They were related. Now, John lived out away, spent most of his life out toward the wilderness. Jesus was kept in the Galilean area, kind of on the hush-hush, really, in a obscure corner of the world in Nazareth. But it struck me odd that he says in verse 31, and I knew him not. And in verse 33, he says again, and I knew him not. So I looked in the other Gospels. Jesus shows up to get baptized. And John says, I can't baptize you. He knew something about him. Because he said, I can't be baptized. You need to baptize me. I'll tell you a funny story. I went up to Justin here the other day and I went into Chicken Express. And I was going to visit with the manager, and young man came out, and he said, yeah, I'll visit with you. And he sat down with me, and I said, so where are you from? He said, well, my family's from the Mansfield area. And I said, oh, really? I said, mine is too. And I said, whereabouts? And he said, well, you know where the pickle factory is? And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, well, you go out that road just a little bit, kind of back the other way. And he wasn't good on direction. And he said, He said, well, actually, my family sold a part of their property for their elementary school. And I said, my family sold their property for the middle school. So the elementary school is over here. And he said, yeah, you go up there. And he said, it's back over to the south. And I said, no, that's the property my family sold. And then it hit me. We're related.
Really?
This is my cousin's son. I didn't know him, but we were related. John said, I knew him not. They were related. Could have been that he didn't know him. But it also could have been, who is he talking to here? Remember, who's doing the talking? Who are they talking to? He's talking to the Pharisees. He says, hey, and I knew him not. Can you imagine the conspiracy of this family getting together and coming up with this concocted story? They go out there, hey, John, what are you doing out here? Well, I'm doing this. Oh, by the way, my cousin, he's going to be the Messiah. You got it? I think that may be part of it, that John said, you know what? I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I am come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water. God sent him to baptize with water. John had a mandate from God to be out there baptizing. When the Pharisees were sent out there to say, hey, what are you doing? He said, God told me to do this. God's got me out here doing this. And again, what a picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. I asked y'all before, you know, when he baptized him, did he say, I baptize thee in your name, and I raise you in your likeness of your death and burial and resurrection, to walk in the newness of your life? By the way, that's the only life we can walk in.
Amen.
I found out this year that I can't do it. I tried, I prayed, I did all I could. I can't live my life in a Christian way. I can only do it through Christ. I can only live my life through Him, because I'm still human. I'm still carnal. I can't do it. Fought with it for years. Man, why ain't I getting it? Why can't I do this? I can't do it. I'm in a carnal body. I can only live my life through Christ. But John says that he bare record saying that I saw the Spirit descending. If you look in Matthew chapter 3, Matthew gives us a good visual of what went on 6 weeks before this conversation that we're reading about now. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. You back up to verse 13 and it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan unto John to baptize him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered unto him, said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. So we see God the Son being baptized, coming up out of the water, and God the Spirit descending on him and lighting on him, staying on him. Then the triune of the Godhead in verse 17 says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You have the Trinity right there. God the Son, God the Father, God the Spirit.
Amen.
All right there, putting their stamp on, this is the Messiah. This is the Christ. And go back to John. John says, verse 33 says, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, and the same said unto me, upon whom thou seest the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, the same as He which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And verse 35 says, and again the next day, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. I'm telling you that if any man stands up here before you in that podium or right here and speaks of Jesus, you ought to do just what they did. You ought to follow Jesus. Amen. If someone stands and proclaims the word, you ought to be able to follow Jesus. It says that the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. You know why? Because John said, there he is, that's the one right there. That's the one I was telling you about, not me. I was telling you about him. That's the one you need to follow. There's the Lamb of God. We need the Lamb. We need the sacrificial Lamb. He's the one you need to follow. And they followed Jesus. Next week, we'll get into the calling of the apostles. It's a neat kind of thing that you can put together and see kind of how they all came to be. Even those that he called and said, hey, I know who you are and I know where you were when they came over and got you. That would kind of mess with your mind. Hey, how do you know all this? Okay, behold, the Lamb of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the time again that we could spend here. Lord, I thank you for each of those who heard your word. Father, I pray that, Lord, we will, as the disciples did, follow Jesus. Lord, we thank you for his sacrifice, Lord, for him being the true Lamb of God that you provided. Father, help us as we go through this time of Easter, Lord, that we would see that afresh and anew. Lord, thank you again in Christ's name. Amen.